B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough as we get ready for a Patriots-Jets game this week. You want the latest? You want the absolute latest on Antonio Brown?
Sure.
Up-to-the-minute reporting?
Yeah, why not?
Well, we got to go to Black Sports Online for that.
BSO.
Yeah, let's rewind a couple of days. We'll go back 3 days. And I'll read you this headline that says, Le'Veon Bell's, it relates to this week's game, Jets and Patriots. Le'Veon Bell's baby mama claims on Instagram that Antonio Brown flew her out to New England after she was upset that Bell put his other baby mama in family section and her in groupie seats.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
The story reads, the drama never seems to end with Steelers and ex-Steelers. Antonio Brown probably just wants one day where he isn't in the news for something. But today isn't that day. Again, this story was from 3 days ago. We'll read you the updated story in a minute that just came out. Le'Veon Bell's baby mama, Charisse, was upset that Le'Veon Bell didn't allow her to sit with his family at a preseason game because he had his other baby mama with his family at that preseason game. So he's got multiple baby mamas.
That'd be conflicting. Yeah.
And he chose another baby mama over Charisse to sit with his family. You follow?
I follow now.
Okay. Ever since then, she's been taking shots at Bell. Now, she did the alleged ultimate betrayal, according to her. She claims Antonio Brown flew her out to New England. She could just be trying to get under Bell's skin, but either way, it's a foul.
What, a bird? A chicken?
Then there are Instagram videos and pictures and things of the like.
You think those two got along in Pittsburgh?
You want to take a look? Take a picture. Take a look at the picture.
Yep.
Attractive young lady, wouldn't you say?
Awesome.
Yep. And so then there's the updated story today that just came up on social media. Right, Jim? This story? Le'Veon Bell's baby mama continues to troll him on Instagram by implying she is sleeping with Antonio Brown, all because Bell put his other baby mama in the family section and put her in the groupie section. The claim is now she has decided to run with this and is dropping hints on Instagram that she is now in New England with Antonio Brown. Black Sports Online writes, it is highly likely she is just doing this to annoy Le'Veon Bell because he put her in the groupie section for a preseason game while his other baby mama sat with his family.
Well, he's not going to put them together. I don't blame him.
Her current actions...
I wouldn't bring them both to the game.
Her current actions seem to explain why she was put in the groupie section. Why she was there to begin with.
These players are so stupid.
She's acting like a groupie. That's what the latest hints on Instagram seem to imply. She tagged herself in an Instagram post as being in Foxborough. And it says, in this picture, which I'm showing you right now, it says, Ben Boomin, and it says,
oh, that's
Foxborough, Massachusetts, where the tag is on Instagram.
So you have to pull that up, or does that automatically pop up?
You add that to it on Instagram. So she added that tag. Hmm. Now, can you add that tag if you're not there? Like, can you just type it in and add that tag, or do you have to actually be in that area?
That was my question. Is it like a location?
That's a good question.
Is it a location thing?
No, you can do it from anywhere.
You can. Okay.
Oh, you can,
so you don't have to be in that area to do it. All right. So she could. I could tag New York City right now.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So that doesn't matter.
That's what Tom needs for Tom knows that because of Tinder.
Tinder Tom. So Charisse, Le'Veon Bell's baby mama, is suggesting that she's now sleeping with Antonio Brown, and now these two teams are going to play each other on Sunday here in Foxborough.
Hey, Artie.
How do you think that plays out on the field?
I don't think it'll be neither guy. It won't affect either guy how they play. I don't think they'll talk in pregame. Maybe maybe they will have some fireworks in the pregame.
This is the kind of crap you got to worry about with Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Our former teammates, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, going to get into it over whether or not the baby mama is actually in Foxborough or not. Wow. A new day and a new story.
Well, they are playing the Jets this week.
I know. So, yeah, no kidding. And they're both going to be on the field with their new teams.
This show, this won't come up at all during the game.
Talking about their...
Wait a minute.
Talking about Le'Veon Bell's baby mama, who is claiming to be sleeping with Antonio Brown.
All right. We have Kyle Van Noy on the show tomorrow.
Yeah.
Do we ask him if this is going to be used as trash talk? On the field? Because Antonio Brown's not going to be on the field at the same time as Bell.
Right.
But the defense will.
You'll be screaming at him. He can scream at him from the sideline.
Or maybe which player is most likely to use something like that as trash talk? Or has anything like that happened before?
I don't think this is the NBA, Jim. I don't think it's the NBA where you got the Honey Nut Cheerios.
So,
I don't think that happens?
So I got to ask Kyle Van Noy.
That's hard to believe that doesn't happen.
So you want me to ask Kyle Van Noy tomorrow. Kyle, will you ask Le'Veon Bell about his baby mama Charisse as trash talk in the course of the game on Sunday?
Yeah Jim does. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Yeah, we can ask.
Yeah.
We can ask about that. Are you up to date on Charisse?
So I find it hard. That doesn't happen in the NFL?
I mean, like, but to think it bugs you, right? Like, you're going to be that distracted if you hear that?
Right, but guys are going to say stuff, though, aren't they?
I mean, they say stuff, yeah. It's not like that. John Randall was, like, the one guy that really shot at anything and looked at anything and screamed at you.
Didn't they say he was, like, the perfect gentleman off the field?
Perfect gentleman off the field, can't talk to him on game.
And he was a complete psycho when he played football.
But
He'd
look up your wife's name, be shouting and yelling at
all
you.
All the details.
I'm coming to get you
kids. Pre-internet, though. Pre-internet. Yeah. He did research.
Pre-internet, he did research on all your info. He'd get it all.
That's pretty skillful.
That's great. What a complete psycho.
Nut job.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. There you go. You have the latest. That's the latest detail. One more wrinkle into the situation. Why don't we get back to your calls?
Well, here's the thing, too. Where's AB going to put her? In a groupie section or a family section?
Well, where's she going to sit on Sunday?
I'll put her in club seats.
Club seats? Or, you know, lower level seats? Where's she going to have her tickets on Sunday?
Good question.
That's what she needs to do. Charisse needs to back up her claim with a picture from the game on Sunday. Back it up, Charisse. We've got a lot on the table. Antonio Brown today. Quarterback situation in the NFL. The Bruins contracts, getting those deals done with both McAvoy and Carlo. David Ortiz, Tom Brady, and the Antonio Brown situation, obviously still a dominant topic. We got all this out there. We're talking about all of it with you. Open line 617-779-0985. Here's the action update.
Boston's home sports. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back it up, Charisse. Well, we have full lines.
Oh!
Our call screener was frozen, so I didn't even know that.
Sorry, people.
I apologize. We have some connectivity problems here that plague us while we're on the road. Who did someone email us or tweet us, Jim, wanting to know why we're here today? Why we're here on Tuesdays?
Oh, no, it was a tweet. Somebody please explain. We can't see the field. We don't have any in-person player.
No, we're
is it just for a shorter commute?
It's a good tweet. It's a valid tweet. Valid question.
We're actually in the booth, and we just figured we'd just cover up the windows with this sheet behind us.
Yeah, the field is like right here. You just can't see it.
Yeah.
It's like right there. The end zone's like right here.
We're down here for...
I mean, this is the 10th. This is year 10 of doing this.
No.
Year 11 of doing this.
It is. It's very nice.
We're here because Zoe tapes his interview with Bill Belichick right before our show on Tuesdays. So it's either Zoe shows up to our studio in Dorchester late or we move the show down here.
We don't want that.
That's why we're here. There's no advantage to our show.
I mean,
other than Zoe isn't late. That's not an advantage.
We get the players, too. They come in and talk
to us. No players come in and talk to us. No coaches come in and talk to us. The advantage is that we get a full Zoe today. That's why we're here on Tuesdays.
It started 11 years ago at CBS Scene on Wednesdays.
Huh.
And then it moved in here last year when CBS scene closed. The CBS scene changed.
Yeah. It blew that thing up.
So I don't know. We stopped explaining that years ago why we do this, but it's a good question from a listener. Why the hell are you guys down there? Now you know. Yeah, that's why we're here, in this closet.
I should get one of those boxes. Like Fred has one, Rich.
What?
Those boxes. I should do the show from home.
No.
After the interview.
No.
No.
No. Get the hell out of here with that. Ryan's in Stoughton. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How you doing? First time, hey. Long time. So I want to give you my main takeaway from the moment the AB story came down on the Jones Show, which, gross, by the way. So
which story? Which story? The signing, the allegations, the baby mama, Charisse? Which one are we talking about?
The big allegations.
Okay.
The main story.
Since last Tuesday.
My main takeaway is this doesn't need to be a Patriot problem. Never had to be. We should and would be laughing at any bozo team that picked this guy up. It's a valid thought still right now after this story drops.
That's very easy to say now that you know, right? Man, I was excited when I got the player. You don't want to hear these type of stories or, you know.
No, he's absolutely right. We would be laughing at any team that picked up Antonio Brown.
Yep. Was the Steelers?
And you would be at the front of the line with the loudest voice mocking them.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
For any other team, that's exactly what would be happening.
Be like the Raiders. Yeah. And we've laughed at them. Yeah, we would.
They had the smarts to get rid of him.
We crushed Tyreek Hill. Comparing it to either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about the smarts, Peter. You just have to, you got to come to some kind of, some kind of peace with yourself. It's like, okay, well, it wasn't a smart football move to not be able to convince him to get on the field and play for your team and to release him.
But they could have hung on to him.
No, I mean,
they could have tried to make it work.
Yeah, but he wasn't going to play for them. That was painfully obvious.
See, that's where you and I disagreed, because he was going to show up and play week one and was going to go out and play a game, because he'll show up and play the games.
Until they find him. Took his bonus.
And I just think he's going to play the games. He's going to play the games, and he wants his game checks. And so he was going to play those games. And he'd be a distraction, and he would be – and it only would have gotten worse, not better. It was only going to get worse from where they already were. Right. And I think they knew that, and that's why they were smart enough to say, we got to get rid of this guy. But I think he would have shown up and played, but they made the right move.
Now, the call is right, too. I mean, pull up the audio from our shows prior to that Dallas week when they picked up Greg Hardy. Remember Jerry and his daughter went out, and he's a good guy, and he deserves second chances, and all this stuff. We crushed Greg Hardy. And he's a lunatic. But what's Greg Hardy do, and what did he do really well? He rushed the passer. He was unblockable in that game. That's like, why is Antonio Brown got opportunities? Because it's hard to cover. Who are you laughing at?
A text I just got from related to Mike Tomlin.
Oh, I got one too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just read it.
Why don't you read it?
I know that we're going to get to the sound of that, right, hopefully, at some point before the end of the show today.
He's a beaut.
It's unbelievable.
I love the detail. I like to stand here and make some words up.
It's so insane. Mike is in Cheshire. Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey, so I wanted to talk about the new AB video that just came out.
Which one?
I don't know if I'm up to speed on that.
Fill me in.
What do we have?
So a doctor reposted a video of Antonio Brown just sitting there farting in his face for about 5 minutes.
Yes. Yes.
And he owes the doctor about $11,000 as well.
Yep.
So is he just a bad guy and a really good player, or is he too rich to care?
I think he's someone who doesn't pay anybody.
I don't think he's a grown-up at times.
I think he's a child. That's what it is. And he doesn't pay anybody. He just he's entitled. He doesn't have to pay anybody. He thinks he doesn't have to do those things.
The fish head is the kicker.
He thinks he doesn't have to be an adult.
The fish head's the funniest one. Like, he sleeps with the fishes.
He doesn't have to pay anybody. That's what he does. He doesn't pay the assistants. He hasn't paid doctors. He hasn't paid people. That's why people sue him for the money that he owes them.
Right.
That's why. Too rich to care. What does that mean? Hmm. Too rich to care.
More money, more problems. That's what that means. I'd care more because you got more problems. That doesn't make any sense. Too rich to care.
No, he just doesn't think he has to do it because he's Antonio Brown.
Entitled. I think entitled.
Someone. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why he doesn't care. He doesn't care at all. And doesn't think he's required to do the things that all of us are required to do. And that's why then he has to get taken to court.
Here's another
question.
That's
why he has half a dozen lawsuits out against him, according to the story yesterday in the MMQB.
So the way he concocted or built his release from there and got to the team he wanted to go to, does this open it up for other players? Like, you look at Jalen Ramsey now. Now he wants to trade out of Jacksonville. Jamal Adams stopped following the Jets. Was it Jim on Instagram? I didn't know it was mandatory that he had to follow the Jets.
And he took the Jets out of his bio.
Ooh.
Oh. You know what I would do if I were the Jaguars? No.
Yeah.
Shut up and play.
I said that too.
You don't want to play? Go home. That's what I would do. What do you want?
The Jaguars are talking about Jalen Ramsey?
Yeah.
You want it? Diana Rossini just tweeted what they've been offered so far.
What have they been offered?
A team in the NFC offered a first next year and a fifth in 2021. And a team in the AFC offered him a first next year and a player.
Player, that doesn't mean anything.
Would Mika Fitzpatrick get a one and a seven in exchange for what?
I want to get to that story.
Or one and a four in exchange
for what? We're going to talk separately about that one coming up next, if you don't mind.
Let's do it.
Okay, we got some thoughts on that one. But no, shut up and play.
Yeah.
You don't want to play, go home and don't get paid. No, this is your job.
Yeah, give him her own credit, man.
This is the league that can fight back against that, Jim. It really is.
Oh, take your money.
Oh, you don't want to play? Okay, don't play.
Well, I think Brown went nuts.
Go home.
Oakland. You're right. He was going to play for Oakland. He's going to show up, make sure he gets his money,
okay,
gets his bonus.
Okay, you don't play then.
They got the out, and he went nuts.
This is not going to become the NBA. This
league. It is. It's becoming the NBA.
This league especially will not let it become the NBA.
It's becoming the NBA.
This league won't let it happen. This league is all about controlling their players.
Patriots let it happen. They took Antonio Brown. Yep. They're the Warriors. In this scenario, they're the Warriors. It's the team everyone wants
like
to come
to. I don't like that. This isn't the Warriors.
Because that team, as much as you think, is Antonio Brown shooting his way out of there? It was about that team saying, you know, at the end of the day, we don't want to give this guy $30 million. This guy is nuts.
Antonio Brown could have been traded to Buffalo. He talked his way out of that. He talked his way out of the Steelers, and he got his way out of the Raiders to get to where he wanted ultimately. I mean, that's just like the NBA. He had to go to further lengths because of the rules that were in place, because the NBA just kowtows to the players and says, you want to be traded? All right, we're going to trade you then. What team do you want to go to? Okay, go ahead. Here you go.
Yeah, that's not exactly how it went for Antonio Brown, though.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's the difference between the NBA and the NFL.
So it's ultimately not the same. It's not turning into the NBA.
He still got to where he wanted to go.
This is unique.
After a hell of a way of going about doing it, I mean, that is not the norm, and that is not going to become acceptable to the point where it happens a lot.
I mean, players are starting to do it. Mika Fitzpatrick asked for a trade. He got a trade.
Yeah,
right?
That's a bad team that's going through a rebuild.
Okay, but he wanted out, and he got out.
And they're looking to trade anybody who wants out, and if they can get a trade for. That's no different than the Red Sox, you know, breaking it down and trying to dump players and dump salaries and, you know.
You think some players, though, on your teams that went 2-14 wanted out before Parcells got here?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't have anybody that anybody wanted.
That's the problem.
Oh, the team sucks.
Good. Like, you look at Mika Fitzpatrick, you're like, that
who on that team were other teams calling about? Usually when you're 2-14, you don't have anybody good on the team. At least they got a couple of players who are good still.
That's true.
They've traded away the good players that were still there.
Fryer was on a 2-14 team.
Did he get traded to Miami, or was he a free agent?
I think he got traded, and then he went to – no, he didn't get traded. I think he was a free agent. He ended up finishing in Philly, right?
He went to the Dolphins first, though.
Yeah, he went Dolphins first.
Patriots traded Irving Fryer to the Dolphins. Yeah. There you go. It was happening even then.
Yeah, Jim.
Didn't turn into the NBA.
I just think player empowerment is becoming a thing, and it's coming to the NFL.
Brady
even
said
it's here.
You know what? Brady even said that. Yeah.
Look at Brady. Brady's part of player empowerment. He's not going to be franchise. He has voidable years at the end of his deal, so he can be in control.
It only took him 20 years to do it.
That's true.
Fryer was traded at the age of 30 to Miami for 2 draft picks in April of 93, a second and a third. They got a second round choice in 93 and a third-round pick in 94. In a press conference in Miami, Fryer said he was ecstatic to be joining the Dolphins, who have one of the NFL's most prolific passers in quarterback Dan Marino. Quote, "Marino to Fryer sounds really good," said Fryer. "I hope it's said about 90 times a year."
Get that 90 catch thing on.
That was his quote. Fryer signed three one-year contracts, worth a total of $4.2 million. It's big money back then,
wasn't
it? That's
big money.
Is the second wide receiver acquired this offseason by Miami, former Giants wide receiver Mark Ingram. 3 years, $4 million, was signed as a free agent. They were loading up those Dolphins back in 93.
Fryer had some good years there.
Speaking of the Dolphins, we want to talk about what they did yesterday. What they were able to pull off. And less about the Dolphins and more about the Steelers. Yeah, we'll get to that. Coming up next with more of your calls after headlines.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're from the town with the Super Bowl team. Three-time winner Steelers. We proved to the world that we have the best team.
Congratulations, Steelers. Three-time winner. They got six, right?
Yeah. Patriots are tied with the Steelers.
That song came out in 78 after they won in 78, their third one.
The Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday acquired defensive back Minkah Fitzpatrick from the Dolphins in exchange for a 2020 first-round pick. The Dolphins also received the Steelers' 2020 fifth-round pick and a sixth-rounder in 2021. Steelers will get back Miami's 2020 fourth rounder and a seventh rounder in 2021. They're swapping late rounders too. Like, what? I don't get why teams make this so complicated.
So they got like control of him for like 5.8 or 5.9 right. million for 3 years.
So from Bert Breer, he writes in a tweet just minutes ago: value for Steelers and Minkah Fitzpatrick? Like, like we're all asking this question. Where's the value, Bert? Where's the value? Well, Bert Breer is here to answer. By the way, Bert Breer will be with us tomorrow. He says Pittsburgh has him for a total now of $5.78 million over the next 3 years. Because he was taken 11th overall outside of the top 10, the fifth-year option for 2022 will be relatively cheap. He turns only 23 in November. He's young. And he can play both safety and corner.
Right.
Okay. So he has sort of a number of very valuable attributes as a player, and he's good. So all of these things are good, right? He wants to play corner. The guy wants to be a corner, but he can play both. That's all fine and good, but did Pittsburgh realize that their quarterback is done for the year and got hurt yesterday and is going for surgery at some point? And now they're on to their backup? And unless Mason Rudolph is their guy,
right,
and is their next starting quarterback,
they're not going to know that yet.
They just handed over what could end up being. They're 0-2, by the way. They're 0-2. They haven't won a game yet. They may have just handed over a top 10 pick or better. I mean, they might totally suck this year.
I think Steelers should be able to win some games. I mean,
yeah, you sure? Yeah,
at least get to 8-8, 9-7. Sure. I can see that happening. Their defense is pretty good, man.
That means Mason Rudolph's going to go 9-5.
I know we gashed him the other night.
No, that means he's going to go 9-5.
That means Mason Rudolph is 9-5. So
I give them too much credit. You're right. I do. I give them too much credit.
They're already 0-2. You have to factor that in.
I just had a stupid statement that their defense is pretty good. Now that could be just a bad game for them the other night, but based on what we saw this past week, probably not.
I mean, they gave up 28 points to a Seattle team. Do they have any points on defense the other day? I didn't see much of that game.
I didn't see any.
They're at San Francisco this week with Mason Rudolph at starting quarterback.
Oof. They'll get after Jimmy, though. That front four will get after Jimmy.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. So you're looking at Baltimore, right? So Baltimore's sitting there 2-0. So you got to do something to sort of make that impact. Does this guy really make that much of a difference?
Yeah, and you know the Steelers. They got Baltimore twice.
That's another
in their division.
Too.
They got Baltimore twice.
Say this guy plays great. Can he hold out? Look at Zeke. You know, so just because the value's there, look at the way this league's going.
You think the Chargers are good, right?
I do. I thought the Chargers were going to
win. Chargers are on the Steelers' schedule. The Rams are on the Steelers' schedule.
Steelers will not have a good year.
Okay, then. So you
said that. That's stupid.
The Chiefs are on the Steelers' schedule.
Right.
Like, they may end up having a horrible year. Their quarterback just went down. They're off to a terrible start. We thought they had issues leaving Foxborough after week one. We said, gee, they may not have much receiver this year. They may not have much of a passing game.
They have no offense.
And they just traded this pick in a year that they should be, at this point, I mean, go to the bottom, guys. You're not, go to the bottom. What are you doing? What happened here? What is that?
Oh, I don't want to say the good value for it. You got a player that you know is versatile and is a really good player, and that's somebody you could build your secondary around.
Yeah, great.
You got to know that Big Ben's coming back and playing a couple more years. You have to know that.
He said that.
No, but you have to know that.
They don't know that right now.
He hasn't even had surgery
yet. Ben doesn't even know that right now. Even if Ben said to them yesterday, guys, this is not the end. I'm coming back.
He did. He said, I'm coming back. Yeah.
He did. I'm saying, even if he's telling them this, which he is,
right,
that doesn't mean anything. That surgery, they go in there, they open him up, they find out he could go through a tough recovery, could go through a tough rehab. He may never get the strength back. You never know.
So what is the first thing you said when I told you he couldn't feel his fingers?
Montana.
Yeah.
You never know.
That's Montana, scary. His last year, threw with his index finger, his middle finger, and his thumb. He couldn't feel his ring or his pinky finger because of that hit that Bert put on him.
Talk to Ben Roethlisberger in 6 or 8 months and see where he's at. That's and then elbow. You'll know what the future is. Even if he's saying there's no way I'm quitting, well, that's great. But let's say he does make it back, Jim. Right? He doesn't quit. The rehab, he gets through it. He comes back next season.
This brings back nightmare scenarios.
What if he blows? What if he's worse than he already was this season? What if he's a shell of old Ben Roethlisberger? Not even a shell of good Ben Roethlisberger. That he just is completely terrible and he's done. What good was that he said he was coming back?
Maybe they plan on tanking next year, and they're getting ahead of the game by tanking, not tanking this year.
Well, look at the Giants.
That's great. And then you what? You had Minkah Fitzpatrick for
now you get Minkah Fitzpatrick
season.
Cheap.
Next season, when you tank, so you got him for 1 year where you were in a rebuild year? Two bad years in a rebuild year? And you wasted a first-round pick on that? What's the point? Although, then you do have the option here, too.
I mean, they did just place their safety on IR today, so maybe it was a need trade, but a need trade for an 0-2 team is risky.
That's weird.
Is that weird?
Isn't that
kind of weird?
Isn't that kind of weird? It's just a little bit kind of weird there. I just thought it was, when I saw that, I'm like, what are they doing? They're a bad team. That could be a great pick. And let's talk about this. The Dolphins, wow, they might be good next year. They're going to have a ton of young talent.
Eight picks in the first two rounds.
I should say this.
Next 2 years.
They could be good in a couple of years. They're going to have an influx of talent if they draft well. If they draft well, they could put themselves in decent shape.
Unless you completely lose that team based on the way things, the trades that have happened. You know, the guys are sitting there. What he asked for the trade last week. They went out and played, and then he traded him. Like, what? How are they looking at Flores? You know, you risk losing a room.
617-779-0985. Some statistics on the Patriots defense that might just blow your mind. We'll tell you about the Pats defense. Some incredible statistics. That is coming up next. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Solak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now Fitzpatrick on third and two, rolling right, and he throws in traffic, intercepted, picked off by Gilmore, who is gone. Right down the middle, 25-20, goodbye to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
You could credit Cal Van Noy for getting this going. He absolutely blows up the chip man on the end that Fitzpatrick tries to get the ball back inside to. Gillilock reads it. It's a fake jet sweep, destroyed. The inside receiver did Kyle Van Noy, which allowed Stephon Gilmore to undercut it, run it the whole way. Amazing play by Gilmore.
Okay, the eye test would tell you the Patriots' defense has been great so far, right? Yeah. You don't really need statistics to back it up, but why not? Why not check at the statistics anyway? Take a look. Take a gander. Jim was thinking about pulling together the statistics on it.
Jim loves stats.
He was thinking about doing that, and then someone took care of it for him. So thanks to Evan Lazar of CLNS Media. Follow Evan on Twitter, at EZLazar. Good follow on Twitter. If you're a Patriots fan and you want Patriots coverage, there's a place you can go get it. He tweeted out these statistics on his Twitter account, and they're good. He writes some incredible stats for the Patriots defense. One scoring drive, a field goal, on 24 drives faced. So they've been out there for 24 drives of the opposing teams over the first 2 weeks. 14 of the 24 drives so far of Patriots opponents, Pittsburgh and Miami, have ended in a three and out or a turnover.
Oh.
14 of 24 have been a three and out or a turnover. Okay. They've allowed only five big plays being defined by a rush of 10 yards or more,
right,
or a pass of 20 yards or more. Miami and Pittsburgh combined 5 of 27 on third down.
The only big play I even recall them letting up this year was the one McCourty let that guy go down the sideline. It seemed like a busted coverage to me. Other than that, they've been pretty clean back here.
Want to know what the opposing passer rating is? Opponent's passer rating? 43.8. Is that good?
I would think it would get worse this week.
I think it's good for the Patriots, bad for whoever there it is they're playing.
Luke Falk, wow. Right? Luke Falk. 199th pick.
4.03 yards per play allowed. And out of the 24 drives faced, only three of them finished inside the Patriots' 40-yard line. Three drives made it into inside the Patriots' 40.
Yeah, last week was a joke. They never got across
the field. They were having trouble getting across
the field. And when they did, they shot themselves in the foot or turned it over.
How's that for some statistics on the defense so far?
That's pretty good.
Also, Kyle Van Noy had a tweet yesterday chirping at the NFL. Because the NFL put out a tweet about Bill Belichick's defense. And Kyle Van Noy retweeted it and said, "We have names."
Oh, a little Vrabel-esque.
The tweet said, "Bill Belichick's defense kept it scoreless in South Beach. 7 sacks, 4 INTs, 2 TDs, no points allowed, hashtag go Pats, at Patriots." And he retweeted that and said, "We have names, dot, dot, dot."
Oh, you want to list them all? I think that's just put it in general. I mean, but the narrative is it's all Bill.
Well, they did list a name. They didn't list the team name. They listed an individual's name. They listed Bill Belichick.
Right. Bill Belichick's defense.
Do you know what it reminded me of?
Vrabel.
Yeah.
When hosts aren't listening.
I immediately thought. Oh, did you just say it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, damn it. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Oh, God.
It's a long week, buddy.
I know it has been. Oh.
Yeah, I said it like 2 minutes ago.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's Vrabel. It's Vrabel-esque. I said it's Vrabel-esque.
Sorry.
Yeah. Beatles trapped.
As far as they go, Beatle, it wasn't that bad. I mean, it was pretty bad, but...
It wasn't that bad, because I said it doesn't remind me of Vrabel. It was Vrabel-esque, I said.
Tom and I have already conferred on this. You'll have a chance to hear it again, bad it was. So don't worry.
Hey, Artie.
Yeah?
It's bad.
Now that we got you on there, Charisse, wasn't that John Candy's wife's name in Summer Rental? Charisse.
Hold on a second. No, Charisse is the name of the girlfriend in Uncle Buck.
Oh, that's it. That's it, where he does the dancing like this. And then, that headbutts.
Wow.
Her.
Wow.
Hey, pancakes.
Glad I'm using up brain matter for that information.
Good call.
Yeah.
No.
He's the movie guy.
Is it Shanice?
It's been bugging me. You said
Shanice.
Oh. Charisse.
It's Shanice with an N.
What other movies are Shanice in?
Yeah.
Baby Mama Shanice. Is Charisse.
Wait a minute.
And It was Shanice, played by Amy Madigan.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
She had a Polish last name.
Yeah.
The Badunsky?
Well, she worked at that tire store.
Kobolowski.
Yeah.
Shanice Kobolowski.
Right. Kobolowski. Tire store. That's right. She had her with her and her bangs and her bowl cut. She's like Mark Davis. Sorry.
What?
She looks like Mark Davis.
Yep. That movie came out in August of 1989, which means it is 30 years old.
How about that?
Jesus.
How about that is right. 617-779.
It's like Aerosmith songs.
It came out on August 16th of 89. So as Uncle Buck was coming out, so was Aerosmith's Pump. They were all hitting the scene at the same time. Brandon in Roxbury's been hanging on. Let's get to him before we get to headlines. Hi, Brandon.
Nice.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my phone call. So let's pump the brakes a little bit on the Patriots. I mean, you beat up two bad teams. You got a team in Pittsburgh that lost all their weapons. You know, their defense is not the same. The quarterback's not the same. Miami, anybody can beat them. Just like the Cowboys when they beat up on the Giants, anybody can beat them there.
Well, I mean, you still got to do it, man. That Miami game's a weird spot. And there's been some bad Miami teams over the years that they've lost to down there. I mean, we got to take the defense for what it is, right? It's not like we're just talking about these 2 weeks. This has been going on preseason, the end of last year. You can tell this thing's trending the way it's trending. The caller earlier, you know, the transfer from Patricia to B-Flow to Bill, like they rolled the dice more, he was more of a base guy.
Let's pick up Brandon's point on the other side. Okay. You know, should we be buying in on these wins given that they've come against two bad teams?
No, it's a good question, a good point, because they are bad. I mean, Pittsburgh, I'm sorry, not a bad team.
We'll talk about it in 90 seconds after these headlines. Don't go anywhere.